Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, folks, before we talk to Jody Hamilton, let's talk about our Patreon page. If you're sick and tired of the commercials on the show, I have a solution for you. Get ready for it. Here we go. For just $15 per month, you can get the Ultimate Edition of this podcast. Here's what that means. The Ultimate Edition combines the free version of the show with the post-mortem show that we record after the end credits. Plus, we take out all the commercials for you. That means you get the hour-long free show, plus the 20-minute post-mortem show where all the fun happens, and you get all of that without commercials for just $15 per month. That's BobSeskaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Bob Seska.
Eat shit, Bob.
Hey. The Bob Seska Show.
Lauren Boebert's come a long way since participating in the Miss South Carolina competition. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, March 4, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 44 of the Biden-Harris administration, 614 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at the Bob Seska, on Twitter at Bob Seska _go. Oh my God, look who's here.
Yeah. Jody on the show. That's what we're waiting for. I'm gonna talk with Seska.
Seska.
There you go.
And T-Rex some more.
Not today.
Nothing really grows with Jody on the show. With Seska.
Jody Hamilton's here. From the Bunker Podcast, from -the-bunker.com, also sexyliberal.com, and all of your favorite Sexy Liberal Podcast Network programs. It is your podcasting superstation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Also from the Stephanie Miller Show every Tuesday. Great. It's great to have you here, Jody. We're missing a dinosaur. There's a a T-Rex who is not here today for... more sad reasons.
Because I like to bring this happiness back, and you know, because you know, we might as well just have the worst shows ever and make people cry every week. This is us. We're the This Is Us of the Sexy Liberal Podcast.
There
Network.
You go. That's exactly right. The This Is Us. We make everyone sob. The melodrama
every week.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. If last week wasn't enough drama for you, wasn't enough existential angst and sadness, T-Rex is out today because he's finally saying goodbye to his cat, yeah. Travis. who's been ill for quite some time now. Mm-hmm. I think something like 5-6 months they've been dealing
with this
tumor on his back. And so I guess it's gotten to the point where it's just time to go. You just know it's time to go.
Yeah, it's more painful for him to be here than for him not to.
Yeah.
They're doing the right thing. I just feel terrible for them.
And nothing's worse, is it, than having to do that, especially for those of us who don't have children. These are like our children. And so when we have to say goodbye to them after just a very short period, or what seems like a very short period of time. I mean, you have kids, more or less, if you have kids, you're talking about decades and decades and decades that you have with them.
Well, and usually you don't outlive your children.
That's right.
That's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, not in my family and not in my cousin's family, but, you know, most people don't outlive their children. So,
you know, I'm always blown away, Jody, by how much loss that you've had to endure. And I don't want to get too soupy here at the top of the show, but I mean, it's it's remarkable. I mean, two brothers, two sisters, your dad, you must have like Herculean levels of coping mechanisms to be able to deal with that kind of loss.
It's, you know, one thing I know that when somebody's lost a family member in general, like with friends, it's one thing, but when you lose a family member, people come to you all the time for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then they don't because they have their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's completely and utterly understandable. What I have done with friends of mine, like my friend Rachel, both of her parents are gone. And when her dad passed away, I got in touch with her, of course. And then what I do now is with like with my cousins, I'll be doing this and I check in every 4 or 5 months for a good couple of years.
Yeah.
Because people do have their lives to get on with. And yes, I will be happy to come and do laundry, you know, and the things that you need done depending on the grief that how you handle the grief. Mm-hmm. Like people bring you food. I don't get it. So much food is brought.
Yeah, that's a common thing, isn't it? People want to help. People want to. Is there a factor in loss where you feel like you're consoling them almost as much as they're consoling you? Is that the dynamic you've noticed?
Sometimes it's like when Carrie passed away, because we were, to quote Forrest Gump, two peas in a pod.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody came here.
Yeah.
Like it was, the phones rang and phone calls were made, and just the entire city of Los Angeles practically ascended my home, which included people like Florence Henderson and Tammy Down from Faster Pussycat.
Wow.
And Miguel Ferrer, God rest his soul, and Johnny and Carrie Grise. And, you know, it's like all these, it was, and there were 150 people in my house within a couple of hours.
Yeah. Incredible.
And Sharky Conway, Tim Conway's widow, she was so cute. She calls me up and she goes, "Turn the oven on to 450. I'm bringing a ziti."
Ziti is like the official food of losing a loved one, isn't it?
It seems to be. And so, I mean, it was just, and people were here for, God, 10, 12 hours that day. I mean, my sister Nancy came, she was down here anyway. And it was just, it was very. And then it's like, okay, now we have to plan a memorial service. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my mom and I are talking to each other, and Carrie's friend Sean, who was in rent with her, he officiated the ceremony. And John Karabi sang, actually played guitar, and my little sister sang Here Comes the Sun, which was my sister's favorite song.
Wow.
And, you know, planning all of that stuff. And it's like, eventually people just stop coming over, which actually for me is fine. Thank God Lonnie goes, "I'm just going to leave her alone. Good boy." I mean, he literally moved in 2 weeks before Carrie died. And so it was just like, and I had quit smoking, the previous September.
Oh my God.
And so I'm
that's
in this
extra tough. Yeah.
Right. So I'm in the house with my niece who was still smoking at the time and various other people that still smoked. And I looked at them and I said, "If I ask for a fucking cigarette today, you're giving me a fucking cigarette today."
Bad.
And they all went, of course. I'm like, "Yes, fuck yeah." I literally actually got physically ill from stress, which had never happened to me before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yes, I mean, prior to that, I'd already lost my dad and two of my brothers, so I'd been through it before.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know how I react to things. And all I can say to anybody that's lost anybody is let them tell you what they need.
It'd be interesting to know whether or not having a sense of humor has helped you through it, because you have sense of humor. Obviously, your mom has one of the world's greatest sense of humors of all time. Does that actually help to have that point of view on the world, or is it kind of a burden sometimes?
No, I mean, it helps. I mean, because Stephanie and I keep joking, how dare Carrie die before she met me?
Right.
Because, you know, they would have dated. They would have had a wonderful relationship. How dare she?
Oh, really? Stephanie and Carrie? Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Carrie had a couple of girlfriends. They would have had a great relationship, those two.
Stephanie Miller. You're talking about Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Stephanie and I joke all the time. How dare Carrie die before I met Stephanie?
So great.
The fuck was she thinking? How dare she? Which is fun. You know, Carrie would laugh at that. Carrie had a very dark sense of humor. But no, I mean, it does help because, you know, I mean, Carrie's funeral was somewhat funny.
Mm-hmm.
Not as funny as Ernie Anderson's, which was the funniest fucking funeral
I can't even
I've
imagine
to in my life. Really, that was just brilliant. It was a comedy routine. It was really, really funny.
Yeah, and Ernie Anderson, of course, tonight on The Love Boat.
And Paul Anderson is his son, so it's yes, having a sense of humor helps, because when my dad died, I was still smoking. And we're at the, because we're Irish Catholics, so we had a memorial, and then we had a separate funeral days apart.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have the memorial where my dad was actually, it was an open casket and I wasn't going in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my thing. So I'm standing outside the church and my mom arrives and I'm smoking a cigarette, and I never smoked in front of my parents. I just never did.
Oh yeah. Me neither.
And so I'm smoking a cigarette and I look up at her, and she has this look on her face because dad died of cancer, right?
Yeah.
So she has this look on her face like she's going to tell me to put out my cigarette, which I knew that was her. I could tell that was in her brain. But the look on my face was, don't go at me, old lady.
Don't give me any shit about this.
Not today, old lady. Not today, you know. And she didn't. She just kind of walked away. I put my cigarette out, and then I gave her a hug. But it was the look on my face that was just like, not today.
If you had said that out loud, would she have understood that you were,
yes,
you know, okay.
She would have understood.
Of course. Oh,
she would have totally understood. But that was the look on my face. It was like, no, not today. I can't, no.
It's such a strange superpower to have. You and your mom and Joe Biden all have this superpower where you've dealt with horrendous loss in your lives. And there's a perspective that you have that many, many people do not have. Many people who are dealing with loss right now don't have that perspective. So it's invaluable to hear from people like you, people like the president of the United States also.
Well, you know, mom, it's funny because when Carrie died, you know, she's never lost a sibling.
Yeah.
And that's a different loss.
Mm-hmm. What's different
it's
about
not,
it?
It's, well, I've lost a parent and my mom's lost a child.
Yeah.
But her sister is still alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost four siblings. Now, I was closer to three than my sister Dana. I was not close to her, but I was very close to my two brothers that passed away, and Carrie.
Yeah.
And it's, I remember saying to somebody, I said, yes, losing a child must be terrible.
Yeah.
It's no worse. It's just different than losing a sibling. It's, their grief is different grief.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as traumatic. It's just a different kind of trauma.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I talked to Roger Daltrey about that because he lost one of his, I think it was his brother. And because he got in touch with me when he found out about Carrie, and got in touch with my mother. He goes, I can't even fathom losing, because he's got five children and 17 grandchildren or something like that.
Wow,
or 14 grandchildren, something like that. And he said, I can't imagine how your mother feels. And I said, yeah. And he goes, I know exactly how you feel, and I'm so sorry.
Wow, that's so sweet of him. That's great.
You know, because it's like he knew how I felt. And Lonnie's grandmother, Jerry, we sat down at his brother's wedding, and because she lost a sibling, and she said, I'm so sorry about your sister. And just, we had this lovely, because it's different. It's not, and it wasn't like Carrie was, or Joe or Jeff. They were all young. In fact, Dana was the oldest, and she was only 63.
Wow.
Everybody, Joe and Jeff were 41 and 43, and Carrie was 38. So these are young people.
Yeah, Jesus. I mean, 38, you know, that's...
38.
That's horrible.
She just turned 38. She had just turned 38. She turned 38 in December, and she died in January.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Just a kid, basically. I mean,
yeah.
For all intents and purposes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, just in...
So incredible. On that happy note, kids, how you doing?
Yeah, just about time now to play
For Yuck Yuck.
To play the tapes of Kimberly saying shit on the Stephanie Miller
yes,
Show this
please.
Morning. So yeah, the big announcement this morning on the Stephanie Yay. Miller Show was that Kimberly Johnson, her podcast Start Me Up, is now part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Yeah, this is big news for the SLPN. Yes, our brand new fledgling podcast joining the show. Of course, Kimberly's, I think, been doing the show since 2017 or so, but this is a big step up, I think, for her. She's really nervous and excited and really ready to dig in. I want to be abundantly clear about something right here at the start. I had nothing to do with this. I want to be entirely clear that I did not lobby Stephanie Miller or Chris Lavoie or Travis or the guy who's trying to kill Stephanie for the insurance money. I didn't talk to any of them about adding Kimberly's show to the network. This was something that was entirely Stephanie's idea. And she described that on the show today, in fact, where she was talking about how she was just listening to Kimberly's show and she got down on her hands and knees and begged Kimberly to join the network. And of course, Kimberly said right away, yes, of course, whatever you need, whatever you want, because she's learning from me. When Stephanie Miller asks you to do something, no matter how embarrassing it might seemingly be, you do that thing. That's what you do. If Stephanie Miller says, Bob, take off all your clothes and pretend like you're emerging from the refrigerator after having sex in there with Kimberly, I go, well, yes. Is there anything else I can do for you? Of course. And so that's what I do. And then I make things worse by posting the image on Instagram. Thank you very much. But so Kimberly's part of the network now. And if you want to follow her show, patreon.com/startmeup. Also, everywhere you get your podcasts. And, of course, on the sexyliberal.com website, which is your, as I always say, every show, your podcasting superstation. So go there, sign up for all the shows, 5-star rating and reviews for all of the Sexy Liberal podcasts, including the From the Bunker podcast, of course, and this year's show. So as part of Kimberly's initiation into the Stephanie Miller extended cinematic universe, she was on the show this morning, appeared on the show, and proceeded to say shit twice. They had to use the dump button on Kimberly twice.
God damn it!
Well, you know, there's a whole generation of communicators, Jody, who don't know what it's like to have to self-censor on the radio. I mean, that's something I've been, like, practicing since I was 20 years old, since I first started doing college radio, where the fear of God was put into you. Don't fucking say the seven deadly words. Because the FCC is going to come after you. And that was during the time when the FCC was literally going after broadcasters like Howard Stern for saying terrible things on the radio. And so that whole wrath of God thing was drilled into my skull.
See, I have yet to be dumped on Stephanie's show.
Oh, really? I've been dumped once. I said, I think I said bullshit. And got dumped. Of course, it was complete accident. At the time, I was calling into the show from Hawaii. So when I would have to do my slot on,
It was an insane o'clock when you had to get
it
up.
It was ridiculous because Hawaii was then 3 hours behind Los Angeles. So I'd have to get up. I was explaining to Kimberly this morning, I'd have to get up at 3:30 in the morning. That's when my alarm would go off to be on the show at 4:30 Hawaii time, which was, I think, 7:30 LA time. By the time I would go on the air, I was so wired and all at the same time exhausted that I don't even know what the fuck I said for like the first 2 years on the Stephanie Miller show. I think I went on for the first time in 2013. I have no idea what my appearances were like until I started appearing in daylight hours. But here's a tape of Kimberly saying shit on the Stephanie Miller show this morning. This is the first occasion where they had to dump her.
Yeah, I just, you know, I love how like, just on Twitter yesterday, you were like, just don't be a pervert at work. Just, it's not that hard.
No shit.
You can't say that. You can't say that. Oh, this is your first time. You've only done the happy hour before, little potty mouth.
Cannot be a potty mouth.
You're on the mothership now.
The
you
mothership.
Have to behave.
Okay, I have to be good. Sorry about that.
So there's Kimberly saying shit on the radio, on broadcast radio.
Yay!
Yeah. If you listen carefully, I don't think you can actually hear the audio, but I was listening to it. I was watching on Free Speech TV. And when that actually, because on Free Speech TV, you hear all the obscenities. They don't dump Free Speech TV. And as soon as she said shit, I go, oh, in the background. Here's, and then like 3 minutes later, as if that wasn't bad enough, she's just said one of the seven deadly words on broadcast radio going out to all the network affiliates. And then like 3 minutes later, she goes and says bullshit.
But yeah, it's a total double standard. Yeah. It's bullshit.
Oh,
and then we get
you did it again.
Oh, again. You did it again. Again.
I have to stop. I'm so sorry. Okay, I'll stop. I promise.
The last person to double bomb us like that was Sean Patrick Maloney. So you are in good company with the Congress.
Okay,
you
are. I promise. Yeah. I promise.
And he's.
Oh, that's right. Sean Patrick Maloney, member of Congress.
Yes, I do remember that. Yeah.
Twice. And I remember watching that episode. I remember seeing that live and hearing it. And going, wow, they're gonna have to dump that. But one of the funnest things is getting the whole reaction afterwards. Yes. See, that's what makes it fun. It's all at the same time. It's like, oh my God, you made a no-no, you made a boo-boo on the radio. But really, from a broadcaster point of view, you're like, oh yes, this is great. People love it when this happens. When people swear on the radio, it's great for ratings. And so I guess this continues. We have to hear Chris Lavoie's ultimate assessment of of the obscenities here at the end of this tape.
He has to deal with a lot of bullshit every day. So in his defense.
I'm so bad.
Wow, three strikes and you're out, Missy. All right.
I know.
It might be a good time to note that her podcast is uncensored.
Yes. If you like.
It's, you know,
well, it's like Dino Badala or John coming on because they're on Sirius and they can swear.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what? When I go on John's show on Sirius XM and I say bullshit, I kind of say it under my breath still because my instinct is to not say it. You know, even on this show, my instinct is to not swear. Of course, that doesn't stop me. But when I do, I feel a little oogie. I feel a little dirty after I say fuck or shit or mother. Especially if I go all the way to motherfucker. Then I'm like, I'm like looking over my shoulder. Is Ajit Pai going to come and get me? Oh, yeah. Ajit Pai is not on the FCC anymore.
Thank
too bad.
God. No, I mean, I only swear on yours and Kimberly's show. On mine, I've done it once and then I bleep it. Like, swear. I did get one show out where I was just I was fit to be tied for some reason, and probably Maggie Haberman's fault or something like that. And and so I just let it go, and I finally put an explicit thing.
Yeah.
But that was the first time I bleep anybody that swears on my show because I'm like, we would like to have a radio show.
That's right. When people mention Maggie Haberman, you normally just go.
Exactly.
That was literally when someone mentioned Maggie Haberman.
It was, because it was something that she wrote, and it just pissed me off.
Big mouthful of tab.
Yes, I did.
So, Lauren Boebert is a big goddamn dummy. Oh, this was a fun clip of audio. It's why I played the Miss South Carolina thing at the top of the show, because it's about that quality. It kind of sounds a little like this. So keep that in mind as you listen to this clip of a member of Congress, Lauren Boebert, trying to communicate something about the Equality Act.
We can't say the same for the so-called Equality Act, which we all know that's just the Democrats using a play on words. There's nothing about equality in that act. If anything, it's supremacy.
And the U.S. Americans will not understand it.
Some Americans don't have maps, so...
I know, that was my favorite part of that answer. I forgot how funny that was. It's like the singer at the fucking CPAC. It's like, who told these people?
Oh my God, how did I forget to play the performance of the national anthem from CPAC on the show? That was horrendous.
The comments were great. One person literally wrote, Colin Kaepernick got off his knee to walk out.
Yeah.
It was, and somebody said it was the key of Q. And yes, I don't know who told her she could sing.
Yeah.
But they are not nice people.
So did we hear Lauren Boebert say transvexites?
Yes.
Okay, that was
I don't know what a transvexite is, but good for her.
Yeah, here's more of Lauren Boebert.
Quality in that act, if anything. It's the it's supremacy of gays and lesbians and
what?
And
it's the supremacy of gays and
since
lesbians.
When do they have supremacy over anybody?
That's right. This whole victimhood bit from white Christian Republicans is staggering. Yes, 3% or whatever it is, the population of LGBTQ in this country totally got their boot on your neck, don't they, Lauren Boebert? Oh my God.
Yeah, my grandniece, boy, you got to watch out for her. You know, it's like, Jesus.
This, I mean, she was literally millimeters away from saying the gay agenda, you know? God damn it, these people. Yeah, I mean, heaven forbid that people be allowed to vote or not discriminated against because of their sexual orientation or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is horrible. And so she's turning this around to seem as if this is not about equality at all, because after all, if you're a Christian conservative in this country, you're not going to be able to gay bash people anymore. So that's going to be a strike against your freedom. That's the entire rationale, isn't it?
Yes, and it's also like everybody mad at Dr. Seuss.
Oh,
the
yeah.
family of Dr. Seuss saying we're not going to continue publishing certain books that weren't even that famous to begin with. And everybody's like, ooh, cancel culture. No, the publishers that own the rights to these stories has decided to no longer print new versions. The old versions are out there somewhere in a library or in a bookstore.
Yeah.
They're just going to stop printing new books of those titles. That's all they're doing. And it's their prerogative tonight. Mm-hmm. It's like if I decided I'm going to stop doing my show, that's my decision.
Exactly. Or if I decided to go back to my old podcast and take out episodes that I thought didn't age well or something like that. If I were to go through and curate my archive, that's nothing but me curating my fucking archive. It's not, Glenn Beck was referring to it as fascism. The fact that that Dr. Seuss Enterprises, the people who run the Dr. Seuss estate now, said, you know what, these six books that no one really even reads anyway, because I've never heard of any of these six books.
I hadn't either at all. Cat in the Hat, I guess, still has some issues with it, but it's like it's selling. People like it. Whatever.
Yeah, they're not eliminating that one from their publication roster or whatever. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
It makes them money.
Exactly. Even though Don Jr. was really upset about the cancellation of Cat in the Hat. He was on Fox News Channel the other day just talking about how it's horrible that they're canceling Cat in the Hat and Mr. Potato Head. These are the issues that the Red Hat Republicans are really seriously focused on. The fact that the Dr. Seuss estate is like, nah, maybe not these books anymore. It's like, oh my God, the sky is falling. Heaven help us from this catastrophe. No, that's not the way it works.
Did you see Charlotte Clymer's David Brody tweeted, there are only two genders, male and female. That's it. If you have an issue, crack open a Bible. It's right there in black and white. And then hashtag Mr. Potato Head. And then she writes back, David, serious question. How do we know that the potato toy is male? And Brody answers back, serious answer, because Hasbro advertised the toy as male and he has a mustache. So Clymer responds back. She says, so let me get this straight. Because the potato toy represents and identifies as male, you respect his decision and need no supposed scientific validation?
Bingo. Yeah, that's a good one. Matt Gaetz calculated 139 mentions of the word Seuss on Fox News Channel between 4 a.m. on Tuesday and midnight on Tuesday. The author's purported cancellation was mentioned on all but 3 hours of the network's programming during that period of time. Nearly 24 hours. What, 20 hours?
Man, because like when I was editing my mom's first 5 years of her show, there were some sketches that I was like, Mom, this is what was said in the sketch. This is what happened in the sketch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a good idea for me to include this in the edit. So she said, oh God, no, don't. So it was her decision on her show to say not air certain sketches because of the climate that it is now. The sketches were funny at the time, but they were still, we should have been cringing then. We just weren't.
You know who made a good point about this? Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton tweeted, you know, the people whining most about cancel culture are the people who are responsible for freedom fries.
And yeah. Dixie Chicks being canceled.
That's exactly fucking right. And Bill Maher being canceled. Mm-hmm. I mean, say what you will about Bill Maher these days, but...
But you are absolutely right.
Yeah, he had Dinesh D'Souza on his show, and Dinesh D'Souza mm-hmm. said, well, you know what? I mean, we're lobbing missiles at Al-Qaeda from hundreds of miles away, and, you know, it seems like the terrorists are a little more brave than that, where they're walking right up with suitcase bombs and doing suicide bombings and so on like that, car bombs. And Bill Maher simply went, yeah, I agree with you. And that got him mm-hmm. That got Bill Maher it fired. Did. He was merely agreeing with Dinesh D'Ouchebag about something right. regarding the war on terror. And so that was Bill Maher got canceled. Donald Trump was canceling all kinds of people during his CPAC speech on Sunday. He just went through an entire list of Republicans who he thinks should be canceled right in the middle of Matt Schlapp's no cancel culture event. That was the entire
cancel
thing.
Is a nice word to say. I think he's putting bullseyes on their backs personally, exactly, which is a lot right. harsher than just being canceled or voted out of office. I think he's putting hits on them.
Yeah.
Mild hits.
Oh yeah. That was absolutely Donald Trump saying, these are your targets. Make sure to put these guys on your list. There was a thing that I was working on with a former animation colleague of mine, and we were going to be putting together basically an awards website where we were going to recognize all the heroes of the Trump years in different categories, media, politics, music, et cetera, like that, and just list all the people who took brave postures, brave stands against Donald Trump during the past 4 years mm-hmm. and stood out among the crowd. As we started working through the list and as we started putting the project together, because it was going to be a pretty big deal. We're going to send out press releases and things like that and get on TV and make sure that there was real circulation. So especially the people who were honored on those lists would know about it and feel good about it and so on. It was a way to recognize these people. And so as we're putting the final touches on the names for the list before we were going to hand it out to, a panel of judges who were going to narrow the list down, call the list down to like the top 10 for each category. Mm-hmm. Before we ended up doing that, it occurred to me, and this is before January 6th. I'm so glad I at least had a little bit of foresight on this one. I said to my colleague, I said, you know, this is going to be seen as a target list. If you're a member of the Oath Keepers or Proud Boys or any number of these radical red hat extremist militia groups, terrorist groups, they're going to use our awards lists, our awards website as a target list. But I said that to my colleague and we were like, maybe we don't do this. Maybe we don't put together this list. And of course, 4 or 5 days later, boom, the insurrection happens at the Capitol. And I felt, obviously, you know, when it comes to that event, it was a horrible, horrible event. But at the same time, I felt confident in my decision to say, look, maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe we shouldn't call it, make a checklist for all of the far right extremists in this country. That's might not be a good idea. You know, my guess was that the people who were on the list would appreciate not being named like that.
Yeah, I agree. It's like I don't have a problem being on that list, so I appreciate, you know, just being nominated. But I mean, they wouldn't know me if like it's certain people like when the insurgents happened. Mitt Romney is recognizable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But most other senators aren't
mm-hmm.
that they would have targeted because he ran for president, you know, so people are going to know what he looks like. They're going to know what certain people look like out of their just being famous. Mm-hmm. Whereas the average senator, you're not, Ben Sasse could be in my room right now and I'd be like, hello, what's your name? You know, I don't know what he looks like.
Right.
I know the name, but I don't know what he looks like. And then when I see a picture of some of these people, I'm like, that's what that guy looks like? like Tom Cotton is young? I thought he was ancient. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, you can recognize Tom Cotton from a mile away. That guy's got a neck longer than a giraffe's. I mean, it's that and the fascism. You know, you can see that coming from a mile away, too.
That and the hood, but...
right.
But I mean, you know, most people, like, had they gotten into the floor of the House, they would only know what Nancy Pelosi looks like.
Exactly.
Serious, and maybe Adam Schiff and maybe Ted Lieu.
Yeah.
But, you know, in general, they don't know what the average Democratic House member looks like. And so, and nor do they know what the average Republican House member looks like other than white.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they could have hurt Republicans without meaning to as much as they could have hurt Democrats with wanting to.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like putting people's names out there. Yeah. Can put like what Donald Trump did the other day. I mean, I hope that all of those people, the senators and the House members that voted to impeach and convict, have extra security.
Yeah, especially today. There's supposed to be, today is supposed
especially
to be the,
today.
The inauguration of Donald Trump is supposed to occur today, according to QAnon adherents and the rest of these violent militia extremists,
right,
and so on. And we've got some news about that. Lots of insurrection news today. Tape from Alex Jones, who allegedly is sick of Donald Trump. We're going to play that here in just a second. And just a bunch of whiny insurrectionists. Whiny people who are really upset that they got caught. And they're now being treated, within the justice system. And they're really, really upset about that. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. But if something is interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, consider our sponsor, BetterHelp. That's H-E-L-P. BetterHelp seeks to provide professional help with ease. It's not a crisis line. This is professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours, connecting in a safe, private online environment. Send a message to your counselor and receive a timely response. Schedule weekly video or phone sessions, whatever works for you. Anything you share is confidential. And if you want to try a new therapist, it's simple and free to switch. Start living a happier life today. You're going to get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/sexyliberal. Join over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health. Go to betterhelp, that's HELP.com/sexyliberal, and receive 10% off your first month. BetterHelp.com/sexyliberal. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
My life is like a fantasy. How did I get so lucky? I count my blessings every day. Living like I'm a princess in my little Miss Beauty pageant dress. Things are coming to me and I feel blessed. Feels like magic in the air.
Wow, this is so cool. This is recording artist Trisette. She's also a session musician, a backup musician, a backup singer for lots of great recording artists, including Bob Malone,
nice,
who we played last week. Remember Good People from last week, last Thursday, we played that song, and Trisette actually is part of Bob Malone's group. And on top of that, also sings with John Fogerty, which is pretty fucking cool. The song is called Feels Like Magic from her album called, I think it's called TRX Plus J. It's an interesting album
nice
title. Trisette.com. That's TRYSETTE.com. Link in the description at BobSeska.com. Oh, my God. Also, BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit your songs to the show. I know we have at least one other musician connected to Bob Malone who we're going to be debuting on the show. Plus, coming up later on the show, we've got a brand new single from Jesse Terry, one of our favorites here on the program, certainly on the countdown, too. Okay, getting back into things here on our Thursday show with Jody on the show. The Department of Homeland Security and the FBI warned of a possible plot by militia groups to breach the U.S. Capitol and remove Democratic lawmakers on or about today, March 4. The bulletin titled National Capital Region Remains Attractive Target for Domestic Violent Extremists warned that domestic violent extremists or militia violent extremists were emboldened by the January 6th attack on the Capitol and may exploit public gatherings either formally organized or spontaneous to engage in violence. The threat appears to be connected to a QAnon conspiracy theory that Trump will return to power today.
Mm-hmm.
Because March 4 was the original presidential inauguration day in 1933, right, after which it was moved to January 20th, right?
Right. Yeah. FDR was the last president inaugurated on March 4th and the first one inaugurated on January 20th.
They're saying Trump is like the 18th president or something like that.
Yeah, because they believe that because the law changed from March 4th, 1933 to January 20th for the 1936 election,
yeah,
or the 37 inauguration, that every president since then is illegitimate.
Oh, right.
So whatever FDR was in 33, he would have been the last legitimately inaugurated president, but just in 1933, not in 37, not in 41.
They're putting all their energy behind this gibberish that some prankster out there, it's like Johnny Knoxville, is out there disguised as Q, whoever this Q character is. It's like John DeLancey.
It's Ashton Kutcher. It's Ashton Kutcher.
That's exactly right. I was going to say it's John DeLancey from Star Trek The Next Generation, who actually played a character called Q, just fucking with people. That's what it's got to be. It's got to be just someone fucking with people. But I don't understand how you get to the point of that level of legitimacy. I mean, what has this Q person presented to? I guess he doesn't need anything. He doesn't need anything by way of evidence or proof that he is who he is.
From what I understand, the QAnon, whoever runs the websites or whatever, I don't go into that because that's just nuts.
It's just crazy.
I like crazy, but I don't like that kind of crazy. apparently, they've been telling people don't go to DC.
Yeah.
Because it's a trap by themselves. I don't understand how it's a trap. If you don't go, you don't worry about it. If you do go, you're probably going to be arrested if you try something illegal.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially today. But I think as far as people, because I know some people, in fact, somebody that I know literally, he's been subscribing to my show for years. And he didn't just send an email, he commented, so I posted it. I really love you, Jody, but you're so one-sided. I'm like, since when have you not noticed that?
Why are you suddenly such a partisan, Jody Hamilton?
How dare I say my views as I've been saying for almost 12 years now on my podcast? God. And so it's like, and he goes, I just can't listen to you anymore because he's fallen into the Q bullshit. And they start with something simple and easy to understand, and then you get into these rabbit holes like a cult will do, like Nexium did to the people that joined Nexium. It was supposed to just be a self-help thing or an acting class or whatever, and then you get sucked in to this cult-like thing, and then the people that start it get even bigger in there. Like, there was somebody that helped get my sister Carrie sober when she was 17, at 15. And he became very cult-like.
Yeah.
To the point where when my brother, because my brother was married to somebody that was, who got sober at 14.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was ill. He had hepatitis. He needed medications. He needed pain medication because that's a very painful disease. And basically, Bob said, no, don't take any pain medication because you're a drug addict. Jeffrey had been sober at that point for 10 years.
Oh, my God.
And it was like, no, you do whatever you need to do. And I mean, it was just terrible what he did to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I actually was interviewed. Somebody's doing a book on him recently and was interviewed by them. And I said, Bob's very charismatic.
Mm.
And that's what starts it. And he was doing good for a long time. And then he wasn't.
Yeah. And, you know, it occurred to me, too, Jody, that we live in a nation that is extremely religious and has always been. And I'm not just talking about rank and file Christianity. I'm not just talking about, you know, the people who go to church on Sunday but don't really deal with it a whole lot after that, after they leave church. It's not like the central thing in their life, but there are millions of people in this country who it is the central thing in their life. Their religion is their identity. And you get into these weird cult-like sects of Christianity, like Quiverful, for example, which is the...
What's that?
That's the Duggar religion. Remember the Duggars?
Like, oh, I do.
1,000 kids and counting, that reality show.
Well, you know, the word Quiverful makes sense. She had how many children? So she was quivering a lot, probably,
at
some point.
Yeah, exactly. Or she had a quiver full of children.
There you go. Hey, we got a dad joke in.
Yeah, you know, that might actually be the origin of the name. I'm not sure.
Could be.
I may have just stumbled onto it. That's how stupid it is. It's right at the level of a dad joke that I would tell on this podcast. But yeah, lots of crazy shit like that. So when you think about it from that perspective, it makes perfect sense that people would get fished into QAnon. If they're willing to believe some of the batshit crap that you get with like Quiverful dogma, of course they're going to buy whatever else as long as it's packaged in that charismatic way, as you were saying. And
it has to be charismatic. Or it's like my grandmother, my mom's mom, used to say nobody would have followed Jesus if he didn't have a sense of humor.
Yeah, yeah.
Because why would you?
Right. You're
changing a complete ideology. It's like, it's tough to do.
Yeah.
The thing with like the Q people, they literally believe people like you and I eat babies, drain their blood, put their faces on our faces for facials, I guess. I'm not exactly sure what that's for. Is it just babies' faces on my face, which is tinier, does it help with my my adult onset acne or my wrinkles? I mean, how is this? I need to be explained.
on Friday's show, on Friday's after party, Kimberly said the toes are the best part. That's the part.
Oh, those liked. Yes, yeah. Those are yummy because they're a little crunchy. You can dip them.
Oh my God! It's like just biting.
They're
into
good
an
like
olive.
A nuggets. Well, it's like with nuggets. You know, you have a nice barbecue sauce to dip them in.
Oh my God! Yeah, see, now we're confirming. Now that all the Q people are listening to the show, going, see, I told you.
I do like them with a nice Chianti. It's just,
yeah, it's of course.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, come on, it's like we're all Hannibal Lecter, or it's come on, guys, how stupid! Yeah. There was no basement at that pizza parlor. People at least learned that.
Exactly, and you know, it's no surprise too. You have lots of far right pundits in this country. A lot of bunch of fucking fakers who have taken on kind of the vibe of an evangelist, of a televangelist or a faith healer or something like that. They've taken on Glenn Beck is one.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible example of a guy who has co-opted that style, that televangelist style, and adapted it for American politics, where there's a level of religion about it. There's a level of fire and brimstone to it, where they're really making an appeal to your own existence as far, you know, this, if Democrats continue to run this country, it's your existence on the line. And they really put that fear of God into their listeners. And another one, quite honestly, is Alex Jones. Alex Jones has been able to Pied Piper for himself an entire massive following of people who, you know, some of which I would say a very small percentage of which listen to his show because it is so fucking nuts. They listen to it for the entertainment, almost like watching professional wrestling, but that most of his audience believes every fucking word. Dan Bidondi is a great example of someone who just got fished in, believes every word, idolizes Alex Jones. Well, now we find this Alex Jones open mic tape, allegedly. I still think this is kind of bullshit, to be totally honest with you.
Do you think that he set everybody up to think he said that?
I think he did. I think he's trying to wiggle out of legal accountability in some way.
That's entirely possible, yeah.
But this is Alex Jones talking about how he's sick of Donald Trump, and it's
somber. So somber.
It's so incredibly somber and out of character for him. So I've got some appropriate music to go along with it. You'll have to indulge me on this here.
Roland, part of me, the selfish part, wishes I never met Donald Trump, wishes that I never met Roger Stone, because unlike previous things I'd done that were game-changing, those were just time-space continuum reflections.
What? Wait.
Of the third.
Wait, where do the time-space continuum reflections, what the hell does that mean? Can someone please explain to me what is a time-space continuum reflect? I understand what the time-space continuum is. But what does it reflect? I don't understand any of this. But I'm sick and tired of Donald Trump. Sick and tired of... and Roger Stone. There's something very wrong with him. Let's continue here.
Big change I was going to be involved in, and that was bringing Donald John Trump into Austin. Someone said it again. I said Austin into office. This is you guys.
He went to say, "I brought Donald Trump into awesome."
Yeah,
is what he said. And he's like, "Oh, wait a minute. I didn't mean to say awesome. I meant to say office. We got to back up and do that one over again." He seems so tired and sleepy in the video, because there's video that goes along with it. He's got a giant, like a giant can of energy drink there.
I'm going to say it again in a minute. just drink some of this Armani after I've said it. It's the truth, and I'm just going to say it, that I wish I never would have fucking met Trump. I wish it never would have happened. And it's not that the attacks that I've been through. It's I'm so sick of fucking Donald Trump, man. God, I'm fucking sick of him. And I'm not doing this because it's like I'm kissing his fucking ass, you know? It's just like I'm sick of it.
Okay. He's sick of Donald Trump.
I like the music accompaniment.
Yes, that's right.
Look
that's
away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
It's sad Dixie.
It's
yeah.
sad Dixie.
I gotta tell you, I finally reached the conclusion that through lots of thought and self-reflection, I have determined Donald Trump is full of shit, and I've determined that you can't shit a shitter on the shitter, on the golden shitter. You never shit a shitter on the golden shitter. Well, yeah. Fuck him, and fuck Donald Trump, and make sure this goes out on the internet, because I got to distance myself from Donald Trump so I don't go to jail.
See you later.
All right. Good night. Oh, fuck him. So, speaking of people who we should say fuck him about, Ronnie Jackson is just as scummy as I thought.
Dr. Ronnie?
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Ronnie is now in big trouble for all kinds of shit while he was working as the White House physician. This is just someone who is out of control and, quite honestly, susceptible to blackmail. Kind of goes a long way to explaining why Ronnie Jackson so willingly lied for Donald Trump. We're going to talk about that and more in just a second, more insurrectionist stuff too. But first, we are so grateful that vaccinations for COVID-19 are underway. While we're nearing the finish line for this brutal pandemic, getting there means staying safe, doing the right thing. For the foreseeable future, only respirator face masks provide real protection from transmission. Unfortunately, the huge demand and limited supply of respirators means we're flooded with fakes and counterfeits that do almost nothing. Well, right now, thenewdealshop.com has FDA-authorized N95 respirator masks with anti-fraud labeling on every single package that can be verified right on the manufacturer's website. They're tested in the United States by the NPPTL and provide the most significant level of protection. These respirator masks are in stock right now in the U.S. and ship immediately for free. Go to thenewdealshop.com now and get verified, authenticated, FDA-authorized N95 masks shipped immediately to your home or business. That's thenewdealshop.com. Thenewdealshop.com. Thank you.
Bob Seska. This home we built in a moment's time, and sailed away without knowing the wind. For we may never have the chance again. When we wander, when we wander, don't it feel like we're finally found?
The great Jesse Terry.
When we wander.
Song called When We Wander. Brand new single out now. JesseTerryMusic.com to support Jesse Terry. Download his latest track. I love this song. BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit. Thank you for doing that. Okay, let's get back to Ronnie Jackson here. Ronnie, sweaty, sweaty, nervous Ronnie Jackson, who flagrantly lied about the president's health condition. But before we talk about that, before we talk about why Ronnie Jackson is in trouble, we got to play this. It's Rocky Mountain Mike.
He's Trump's friend until the end. Dr. Ronnie takes a drink, it kind of helps him think. Dr. Ronnie, Dr. Ronnie, he's the man Trump likes to say who's gonna privatize the VA. Watch him crash and burn.
Dr. Ronnie. Well, 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 Trump's feeling fine. He's 6'3", weighs 239. Dr. Ronnie.
Rocky Mountain Mike, Rocky underscore Mountain underscore Mike on Instagram. Oh, shit. That's great. Yeah. So Ronnie Jackson, the Inspector General of the Defense Department, issued a scathing review of Ronnie Jackson during his time serving as the top White House physician, concluding that he made, quote, sexual and denigrating comments about a female subordinate, violated the policy for drinking alcohol while on a presidential trip, and took prescription strength sleeping medication that prompted concerns from his colleagues about his ability to provide proper care. Yeah, I think that's a bit of a problem, don't you think?
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, and the part about the drinking, not surprising at all. If you remember Ronnie Jackson, right after Donald Trump said that God bless the United States thing, that Jerusalem speech, that quite clearly the president had some sort of stroke or something happened to his mouth. It wasn't what Ronnie Jackson said during this press conference where he was looking all pale and sweaty and fidgety. But Ronnie Jackson said, oh, yeah, it's because we dried up his secretions. We dried up too many of his secretions. That's what Ronnie Jackson's excuse was. Yeah, because they gave him Sudafed. That was the excuse. We gave the president Sudafed because, you know, we've all taken Sudafed at some point and it absolutely... Mm-hmm. makes us unable to speak. That's what happened to Donald Trump. I mean, it was all at once funny and a little bit scary what was happening to him in that speech. Jesus. But Ronnie Jackson, of course, lied to him. And then we heard reports when he was up for Secretary of Veterans Affairs, John Tester, Senator Tester, put together a dossier based on allegations about Ronnie Jackson. And one of the allegations was that Ronnie Jackson goes around the White House handing out, you know, prescription meds like Skittles, just like giving out things like Provigil, cognitive enhancers, to people. If they just, I'm feeling sleepy this morning. You got anything, Dr. Feelgood? And Dr. Ronnie goes, oh, yes, here you go. Here's some cognitive enhancers. Here's some basically what amounts to Adderall, something similar. I think it was called Provigil was the name of the drug.
Yeah.
And so Ronnie Jackson was handing that out all over the place and just as utterly scummy as I thought all along. And oh, good news, by the way, he's a member of Congress now.
Yeah.
So what do we do about that? It's just these guys end up failing upward, don't they?
Mm-hmm. They do. I don't. I just don't. It's like A&R guys in the music industry.
Oh, exactly.
They just fail up.
Yeah, network executives, too. I've seen so many network executives that are terrible, and they end up getting promoted. But we have more whiny insurrectionists. The shaman was did an interview, I think, what was it, with 60 Minutes or something like that? That weird fucker and his mom were on TV. And,
right.
And their excuse now, Jody, is that, oh, well, he just walked in. He was waved into the building, the Capitol building. So the police just let him in. So he just thought he belonged there. Uh-huh. So this is the Blue Lives Matter people going, yeah, you know what? It's the cops' fault.
Right.
They're blaming D.C. Capitol Police. They're saying, look, it was the Capitol Police. They just fucking let us in the building. And that's why we were there. I mean, we didn't, you know, it's like, who do you believe, me or your lying eyes? There's video of these people storming their way into it, forcing their way through windows, through doors, pushing past security, crushing people, including Capitol Police officers. This was not a cakewalk. This is not a deal where they were just like welcomed like they were tourists. Although there, once they were in the Senate chamber, I do know that there was a Capitol Police officer who was like, oh, no, don't go up there. Don't sit in that chair. Maybe don't go over there either. And he was like directing them not to touch certain things, but not telling them to get out of the fucking Senate chamber.
Right.
So he's kind of right. There was weird cooperation from the Capitol Police. But by the way, my voice, after doing Alex Jones, my voice is going.
It sounds like Alex Jones. Yeah.
Like
it's not a good sound.
Thank you. I feel like I have a
You need
cold.
A Navage. You need a Navage to just clean all that stuff up.
That's what I was going to say. Doing Alex Jones makes me feel like I have a head cold, or the flu is a better way to put it. I have to channel that awful demonic energy. Meanwhile, Chris Ray testified that, quote, the attack, the siege was criminal behavior, plain and simple, and it's behavior that we, the FBI, view as domestic terrorism. So that's fucking great, too. Oh, and by the way, that guy who was sitting at Nancy Pelosi's desk, these whiny diaper babies. I guess we could bring out the Alex Jones, I'm sick of Trump music to talk about this guy, too. So sad. The guy who sat at Nancy Pelosi's desk. You know, the judge told him that he has to stay in jail.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, it's not fair. I've been locked up for a whole month. Not fair to me. Why are you so unfair?
Poor baby.
Just like Donald Trump. Just like Donald Trump. You face accountability, suddenly, oh, the world is against you. You know, you're facing the music for shit that you did. Awful, awful shit. Unprecedented shit. And your response is to whine as if it's suddenly not fair? Take responsibility
for your
fucking action.
Well, it's not fair. Bob, he's a white man. He's a white cis man. It's not fair.
That's absolutely true. Thank you. That's absolutely what's going on here. They feel like they've got the privilege to be able to do whatever the fuck they want. It's like Andrew Cuomo felt like, oh, well, I'm the governor. I can... You know, I can grab
be
this woman
really
by
creepy
the,
and weird. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Pinpointing this down to white men, I think, is very, very accurate. Feeling like, oh, we can do anything. We're white guys. We take no crap. So.
I mean, that's why they stormed. And what is funny is because they all thought they got away with it, quote.
Yeah.
And sorry, the FBI keeps posting pictures of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get discovered because you were stupid enough to be there, A, and secondly, to take pictures, and thirdly, to bitch and moan that, how dare Antifa get the credit?
Yeah, Jesus,
they're
God.
They're bitching about that. That's what's hilarious with Ron Johnson, noted stereo salesman from Ridgemont Mall, says that oh, you know, the it's Antifa, and it's like, no, Antifa, she didn't do it. and the people that were there's reporting on it. That the people that were there are like, no, it wasn't Antifa. We're Trump supporters.
Yeah, yeah. But you just watch. The Republican Party will take the Antifa accusation and they'll run with it as if it's real, just like they do with every other bit of fiction that crosses their desks. Oh, my God, Acorn did what? Let's ban them. Well, no, that was fake. It happens so often. They're making laws based on Donald Trump's election conspiracy theories now in states like Georgia. They said, well, we got to restrict mail-in voting and so on. Why? Well, because all of the fraud that took place that didn't actually take place.
Right.
So more legislation based on absolute fiction. Because Don Jr. loves him. Don Jr. said he could recite The Cat in the Hat by memory. Yeah. Well,
I think Mike Myers should test him. Like Mike Myers as the Cat in the Hat tests Don Jr.
Yeah, good idea.
Can you really do it, you know?
Yeah, right, right. Okay, well, the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network is now heavy. One more podcast, Kimberly Johnson's Start Me Up podcast, drops multiple times a week. So check your local listings. Also, patreon.com/startmeup. And as I said, sexyliberal.com, your podcasting superstation. That's all you need right there. That list of podcasts, that should suffice for all of your listening needs. You don't need any other podcast. Don't go to iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or any of that crap. Sexyliberal.com is your one-stop shop for everything that's happening in the world of political podcasting and so much more. Okay, and Jody Hamilton, of course, can be found there as well as from-the-bunker.com. Thank you today for joining me, Jody. And it's a shame we didn't have T-Rex, but I'm sure he'll be back next week. And we extend our
hugs
condolences
to him.
Hugs.
Him and Ben both.
Yeah. It's such a shame. Yep, it's never fun. I remember when we put Miranda down last year, and I was inconsolable. I soaked right on through my my mask as we had the vet here doing that awful, awful thing. And so it's never fun. But
no.
Anyway, so you can find David's podcast, by the way, at patreon.com/thetrexreport. Also, astralsummer.bandcamp.com for his music, too. Go and support David today. Why don't you? He's going through a hard time. And we thank you for that in advance. So let's see what else. That's it. I think the postmortem show is coming up next. We're going to do that. like there's any chance that we wouldn't do it. Of course we're going to do it. We do it every time. It's happening on my Patreon page, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, or quite simply, BobSeskaShow.com. You can use either URL to get there. Or you can click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Sign up for $5 a month and you get the postmortem show twice a week, every Tuesday and Thursday. Right as soon as this music is done playing, we keep on talking. We call it the postmortem show. The whole program is an hour and a half long, so you're missing like a whole big chunk of it if you stop listening right now. So what's wrong with you? Get with the program. FOMO, don't forget FOMO. Okay. Take care, folks. We'll see you on the postmortem show and the after party tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye.